Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
This is so exciting to be with everybody today. Before we start, I just want to pray because I don't speak that much, so I need like prayer for this to be what God is doing, and that I want you, as you pray, to open your hearts too, because I believe God wants to speak to each one of you. Yeah. He wants a change to happen in your life. He wants you to be able to identify where He's calling you to go, and then to know what to do to start going there. Okay, so we're gonna just pray together. Okay, before we get started. So, Father God, we just thank you that we are getting to align right now with this series on the mission. And we thank you, God. We just open our hearts right now to you, Lord, to listen and to receive what you have. God, we thank you for your presence coming and just coming over us, Lord, that we would experience the love of a father. We would recognize that the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and that we'd recognize the empowerment that you have for us. Lord, I just pray that it would become so clear to us today what you've called us to do and what you've empowered us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we are in a sermon series called The Mission. So the first week was the love of the Father. It was John 3:16, is the Father loved us. With God, everything starts with the Father's love. And then the second one was the sacrifice of the Son, of Jesus. And this is, everything that we have comes from Jesus' sacrifice. That's what made it possible for us to live a Christian life, to go to heaven, to have relationship with God. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. Okay, so this one is John 20:21 is our verse. So this is Jesus. He says, again, he said, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Okay, I want, before we go any further, I want you to think about the context of when this was spoken. Okay? So, what happened to Jesus right before he said this? He was crucified, and he just rose from the dead. Now, the verse right before this, it says the disciples, they were gathered together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. And what he meant was the Jewish leaders and the guys that had just killed Jesus. So imagine it's already nighttime, I believe, at this point, and they're hiding in this room together. And they're going, John, make sure you use a secret knock when you come in. Freak me out, man. They're in flight or fight mode right now. Okay? A lot of us are in a flight or fight mode, just like they were. We're freaked out about our life, what's happening, is it gonna be okay? And when we're in flight or fight, we're hiding in the room, okay? So then it doesn't help that Jesus didn't walk through the door. He just appeared in the room with them. And fortunately, the first thing he said was, "Peace be with you," because they're already freaked out. They're so scared. And a guy, like, Jesus just shows up and he says, "Peace be with you." And this is what I want you to hear. What he was about to say to them, if they didn't have peace, it would be really hard to receive it. Because he's, right after he says, "Peace be with you," he says, "As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." So these guys, that they're so afraid of dying and the same thing that happened to Jesus happening to them, Jesus is about to tell them, "Hey, I'm going to send you exactly like God sent me. And they just killed me. I'm back now, but they just killed me." And so they needed peace to be able to receive the call and the mission that God had for them. Okay. Number two. Now, then he says, then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay. So I want you to think about this for a second. I want to tell a story that Christina told me. I might get some of the facts wrong because it was told in Chinese and it was told to me in English, and this has been 2 years. So, but the gist is correct. There's this Chinese kid. He's a Chinese pastor's kid in the United States, and he wants to start a startup business. Goes to Silicon Valley. You know, he lives in one of those $3,000 a month tiny apartments in San Francisco with like three or four other co-founders, and they build this product, and then they think they're going to get some funding, and then Apple releases the exact same product and destroys them. And he spends 3 or 4 years of his life, and at the end he's totally broke. He feels like a failure. He's in, you know, Asian family. It's a pastor's family. Maybe it's a little bit better, but there's still that kind of like, it's not like good job trying. It's kind of like, oh, I kind of feel like I just failed. And he's just, let's imagine that guy just told you that story and you're sitting with him and you're going, wow, that's rough, man. Like, what are you going to do? And then he gets a phone call. Okay, this is not in the story, okay, but this is relevant to it. While you're talking to him, he gets a phone call, and I'll use my phone so it looks more accurate. So he gets the phone call and he goes, okay, yeah, okay, yeah. And then he puts it down and goes, hey, I got something I want to do with you. Would you be interested in helping me? I want to go see. We need to figure out how to go talk to the governor of the state that we're in, and we need to get him to change a couple of laws so that we can buy a $3 billion property. And you go, what are you talking about? Like, how are we going to do that? I don't know the governor. I definitely don't have $3 billion. He goes, oh, wait, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you the end of my story. I went to this church barbecue in Texas. This pastor invited me, and I ran into this guy named Elon Musk who also got invited there. And he asked me about my story, and I said, I'm a loser and I'm a failure. And he says, I'm looking for losers and failures. Would you like to work for me? And now he flies on Elon Musk's jet all over the U.S. taking care of Elon's affairs. And now once you hear that second part of the story, you go, oh, I bet we could find the governor. I bet we could figure out how to change those laws. Hopefully they're not illegal. I bet we could buy that property now. I'm not scared anymore. Now I realize we have the empowerment to do it. Okay? This is what Jesus said was so important. He said, as the Father is sending me, I'm sending you. That's freaky. He just got killed, and oh, by the way, he spent the last 3 years walking around healing everyone that he talked to. And he had people that were always scheming against him and coming up with the hardest questions and springing on him in front of a crowd. That's how he walked. And so he said, I'm sending you just like that. How are we going to do it? Oh, by the way, I do have this thing called the Holy Spirit. So that was Jesus' answer to the problem. Let me try to have a timer going. So the answer to our problem, the call that God has for us, is the Holy Spirit. We really, really need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what he's called us to do, because otherwise it's just way, way too hard. Okay, the next thing is it says that, we were sent in the same way that Jesus was sent. This is important. Everything that we're going to talk about today is based on this concept, that as the Father sent Jesus, so we are sent. Because it's really easy to read the stuff about Jesus and you go, oh, that's cool. That's cool. I love that story. But what if you realize that everything that Jesus did was a model for us to do? What if your life isn't just about making it through and having some people like you? What if the calling is so big that you could never do it unless you have a special helper that can help you do it? So everything we're going to look at comes based on this idea that we are sent the same way as Jesus. Okay, so number one, we have to understand that the Father sent Jesus with his pleasure. Okay, so this is Luke 3, 21 and 22. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy." A lot of fathers feel that way about their kids and have trouble expressing it. Like, for me as a father, I try to express it, and I still feel constantly like, oh, I haven't been doing enough. I haven't been saying enough. I haven't been showing how much I love my kids. And this was one of the hardest things for me about when I became a Christian very young, and I had a dad that loved me and stuff. But I remember Father God was always so far away from me. It was so hard to really believe that he loved me. And I was always just trying to serve him, trying to please him. And that's what I thought Christianity was. And it wasn't until I actually had an encounter with the love of God that I realized I have a mission in life that I can actually do. There's somebody who's actually behind me. If you've ever done a job interview and you're like, I gotta get them to like me. I gotta perform really well so that they like me. I hope they like me. You know how nervous and scary that feeling is? You're like, I don't wanna go, I don't wanna go, okay. And then you just pretend like you're totally cool and then you talk and you're just nervous the whole time and you want them to like you so bad. And then take that with like your best friends, like, man, I haven't seen you for a while. Can we get coffee? And you hope at the coffee shop, you're not nervous going in. You're just like, yes, I can't wait to see them. This is gonna be awesome. Because you're already accepted, you're already loved. Now, when you do this mission that God has for you, if you're doing it to please God, you're gonna be nervous. And it's really hard to act like Jesus when you're nervous. Because the love of God flows out of you, and nerves and love of God, one of them has to win eventually. And so when you go with the pleasure of God, you know that God loves you. This is so amazing. God said, I am pleased with you. You bring me great joy. He thinks that about you too. Because that's what Jesus said, as the Father sent me. So we get to take everything that happened to Jesus in terms of these type of things, and we can apply them to ourselves. All right, we're going to now look at the next one. We are called with his purpose. So we're sent with his purpose. Now, we all have a purpose, and Jesus, he wasn't a go with the flow guy. And if you go with the flow, you'll be like, oh, this is going really good. This must be what God is doing in my life. Oh, I'm meeting difficulty here. This couldn't possibly be God. Then you get confused all the time, because I got to tell you, sometimes when you follow God, you run into difficulty, just so you know. Like, we have a mission, and there's enemies trying to stop us, okay? So Jesus, can we go to the next slide here? This is Luke 4:14. Jesus returned to Galilee. So this is after he went through the fasting thing. He just like totally knocked out the devil. And then it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. He was getting 1.2 million views on every YouTube video. That's the equivalent of what was happening to him. Like, it was awesome. Like, everything that he touched turned to gold. It looked great. Then let's go to the next slide. As the sun went down that evening, I'll wait for just a second. Can you guys help me with going to the next slide really quick? One more. I'll read it to you guys. Okay, great. As the sun went down that evening, people throughout the village brought sick family members to Jesus. No matter what their diseases were, the touch of his hand healed everyone. Many were possessed by demons. The demons knew he was the Son of God, so they screamed as he ordered them out. Just think about how awesome this was. Like, it is super fun to see someone get healed when you pray for them. It's also super fun to see a demon get cast out of someone and see someone receive freedom after that's gone. It is so fun. You would think it was scary, and then after you've experienced it, you're like, that was the most fun ever. You know, like, we used to pray for people, and like, our kids would come in, and like, you know, like, someone's casting a demon out of someone, and the kids are like, go put their hand on them and pray, you know? Like, they're not scared because the presence of God is there. It's so fun. So he's having so much fun. He's also probably really tired. And there's like crowds like this, just, but everything is just going nuts. And like people, I mean, people that have had diseases for 10, 15 years are suddenly free of them. Like how, it is just, everything is going so good. Then it says, early the next morning, Jesus went out to an isolated place. The crowd searched for him everywhere. And when they finally found him, they begged him not to leave them. But he replied, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. So he continued to travel around preaching in synagogues throughout Judea. So Jesus understood what his purpose was. He was the top on YouTube. He was getting all the TikTok views, and he didn't care because that wasn't his purpose. So for us, it can be really easy to be like, oh, something's going well. This is what I'm doing. But you have to know what is the actual mission that God has for you. And that success that he was experiencing here, obviously he kept, you know, casting out demons and healing people, but he met a lot of opposition later. If he would have just stayed here, probably wouldn't have had a big problem, okay? But he knew that his mission was to keep going. And so we have to keep our eyes on the mission. We have to get the clarity from God. What is the mission of my life? What am I supposed to do? What am I called to? Okay, the other thing, let me go back to this one. With his people. So God wants to go with us. So Jesus was preaching and he knew a lot of people. Okay, it was like he's at the water's edge. He gets into one of the boats and he asks Simon, its owner, Simon Peter, to push out into the water, and he taught the crowds. So Simon already has some kind of relationship with him, it seems like. We think probably Peter had already known Jesus for a while. If you watch The Chosen, that's kind of how they portray it. And but he wasn't all in. And there's something about all-in relationships that God really likes, and he wants to have with us, an all-in relationship. So when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it's deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. And then there's a little part where Simon argues with him. And then it says, so they let their fish down. They get all these fish back. And he's amazed. Oh my goodness, what did God just do? And so then he says, Jesus says, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, do you see the difference here where like they'd been together for a while, but all of a sudden something clicked in his brain and he said, I wanna be all in. I wanna put everything into this. My kids don't like it when I talk about our story with Christina, how we met and stuff. But there was this one really awesome night where like we'd been praying about, is this relationship, you know, and like we like went on this walk, and then it was like this beautiful evening, and we sat down, and then we found, like, Christina was like, yeah, we're supposed to be in a relationship. I'm like, no, really? I actually didn't think that was gonna happen, you know? And then I'm like, this is amazing. We're like walking around, like, are we in a relationship now? This is crazy. And then like, we just kind of like started talking about it, right? But we're still not, we haven't really like, you know, defined all of the terms and stuff, you know? And we sit down at a Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC in China. And all of a sudden she gets a phone call, and it's her dad. And he's like, hey, who are you with? She's like, oh, a friend. He goes, is it that American friend? And I'm like, how would he know that? And she's like, yes. He's, is it your boyfriend? And I'm like, we haven't even talked. What's she gonna say? She's like, yes. I'm like, okay, I guess we're like together. Like we had the conversation. So that night I'm just like, this is amazing. I'm so excited, you know? And like, I send her back to her. She was, you were still a senior in college, right? And I was my first year out of college. And I go back and I go to bed that night, and I wake up the next morning, and the first thing is, oh no, did that really happen? I still feel amazing. But what if I text her or call her, and she's like, oh yeah, that was nice. Oh yeah, maybe we should get see each other again sometime. I'm terrified that that's what she's gonna say. I'm so nervous. So I'm like, should I text her? Should I not text her? She hasn't texted yet. What should I do? Because I'm like, I'm all in, but is she all in? I don't know. Right? And so I text her, and then she texts back, and she's like, yeah, that was amazing. Luca, we, you know, see each other next. And I'm like, okay. We're both all in. That's great. What God is asking you to do is to step all in to the relationship with Him, and He is going to be all in with you. But you do have to step all into it. Yeah. Now you can. I want you to know you can become a Christian and not step all in, and you can go to heaven, and you can do all that stuff. But there's something available when you step all in. Yeah. Where Peter's like, dude, I'm hanging out with Jesus. This is amazing. And then he goes, oh my goodness, look at those fish. I'm all in. And that's what happened to me is I thought I was all in. And then when I encountered the love of the Father, it was 2012, I think it was April 20th, I was like, oh, now I know what all in means. I know what it means to just want to give everything to Him. So that's what He's asking for from you guys, and that's what He wants to give to you guys. All right, the next one is, we are sent with His presence, okay? So we don't have to do this life alone. I don't know about you guys, but I don't love being alone. Some of you introverted people are like, I love being alone. I don't know what you're talking about. You don't totally love being alone. You like having downtime. You don't love being alone. I remember this one time I was on a train in China. I'm not going to go into the whole story, but I had a 33-hour train ride. And I think it was 33 hours. I was in Xinjiang, in Korla. I bought a train ticket to Kashgar. I think it was over 24 hours. And I was like, what am I gonna do on this train ride? This is gonna be forever. And so I get down, I sit there, and God has just been working in my life so much in this. So I'm just like really excited about my relationship with God. And I'm like, I love you, God. And as I start just putting my heart before God, the presence of God just comes over me. And there's this one of the local guys, like the Uyghur guys, and he says, we can only communicate in Chinese because I don't know his language and he doesn't know my language. He's like, so I'm gonna do a little accent here. He's like, 你怎么样? 为什么这样做? And I'm just crying. I'm like, 因为我爱上帝. He's like, 我是啊. 是啊,很好,很好. And he's just like so excited about just seeing me feel the presence of God. And he's like, these 33 hours are just like gone. Like it's just so fast. All I remember was just being in love with Jesus on this train. Like I had his presence the whole time. And so this is what he's promising to us. Jesus said, when you've lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, so this is John 8, so this is quite a bit before, this is at least, I think this is a week before, he says, this is even way before that. Then he says, you will understand that I'm He. I do nothing on my own, but say only what the Father has taught me. And the one who sent me is with me. He has not deserted me, for I always do what pleases Him. When you have the presence of God, you can tell the pleasure of God. Because we talked about the pleasure at the beginning, right? When you're in the presence of God, it's like a dashboard. You know, if you drive a car or you have that fuel indicator, oh no, the fuel's out. I can see that it's moving. I need to go fill up with more fuel. When you're in the presence of God, the pleasure of God is with you at all times. And when you do something that causes Him to go, oh, you feel that, oh. Like, so Jesus, when He said, I always do what pleases him. He says he's always with me. I always do what pleases him. So like if I say something mean to Christina or just like snappish or to my kids, I can be, oh, pleasure of God. And they're like, why did you, you know? And I walk away and I feel, I can't feel the pleasure of God the way I could. I'm not saying that God's not pleased with me because I made a mistake. He still loves me, of course. But you can feel the relationship has changed. And you got to repent. So if you're like, okay, this is what repentance is, by the way. This is a side note. When you make a mistake and you feel bad, the reason you need to repent is so you can restore your relationship with God. And that's why, like, so I, and I have to go, hey, sorry for that joke I made, or sorry for what I said, or sorry for the way that I, because I was, as soon as I do that, guess what? I can feel, oh, there it is. We're back. That's why I repent, because I want the relationship with God. Like, it's so much more important than having to feel embarrassed for a minute and say sorry. Okay, so there's this other piece here where Jesus says, I'm going to have to find this here. So then he says, I just want to, I don't have a slide for this one, but Hebrews 13:5, Jesus, the writer of Hebrews, he's saying, keep your lives free from the love of money, because God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So this is like a promise that we get over and over in Scripture, that God is going to be with us. We're going to have his presence. We're not doing this thing alone. We have the Holy Spirit is the one that connects all these things together. Okay. So I want to read a quick story here that has spoken to me a lot over the last few years. There's a guy, early 1900s, kind of one of the fathers of the early Pentecostal movement, named John G. Lake. And he has this crazy set of stories about living in the 1920s, 1930s, and just what God was doing during those times. And I'm going to actually read this part here. So he says, at one time, I submitted myself to a series of experiments. It was not sufficient to know how God, to know that God healed. I had to know how God healed. So this is like, I'm not sure, this was probably like 1920s, 30s, something like that. It could have been before that. So I visited one of the great experimental institutions and submitted myself to a series of experiments. First, an instrument was attached to my head. This instrument had an indicator that would register the vibrations of the brain. I began to repeat things like the 23rd Psalm to soothe the mind and reduce its vibrations to the lowest point. Then I repeated the 31st Psalm, the 35th chapter of Isaiah, the 91st Psalm, and Paul's address before Agrippa. And then he says, after this, I went into secular literature and recited Tennyson's Charge of the Light Brigade and Poe's The Raven. And as I prayed in my heart that at the psychological moment, God would anoint my soul with the Holy Spirit. My difficulty was that while I was reciting, I could not keep the Spirit from coming upon me. When I finished with the raven, those in charge of the experiment said, you are a phenomenon. You have a wider mental range than any human being we have ever seen. So they have one of those, like, you know, like a seismograph, but it's like connected to his brain waves. In reality, this was not so. It was because the Spirit of God kept coming upon me to such a degree that I could feel the moving of the Spirit within me. I prayed in my heart, Lord God, if you will only let the Spirit of God come like the lightnings of God upon my soul for 2 seconds, I know something is going to happen to these men that these men have never seen before. As I recited the last lines of the poem, suddenly the Spirit of God struck me with a burst of praise in tongues. The indicator of the instrument bounded to its limit. I haven't the least idea how much further it would have gone if it had been possible. The professor said, we have never seen anything like it. I replied, gentlemen, it is the Holy Ghost. And then he did like a whole nother one where he just did these different things, and they would measure his brain activity and what was going on in him physiologically while he would just be with God. And they would see his body would actually respond to the presence of God. And so I want each of us, as we think about this new year, where we're doing this series on mission and we're trying to realign our church, where are we going? And like we're doing the Vision Sunday on February 1st. We need to realize the mission that we're on. Because if we don't see where we're going, we're just like the disciples, just trying to make our way. Now, for the disciples, it's like, I'm hoping I don't die. For us, it's like, I'm hoping I can pay the next bill. I'm hoping that my family's happy with me. I'm hoping that maybe I can have a good relationship or something. But and I do this, it's so easy to just be looking at the other people around us, and that's all we can see. If I can just survive, we're going to be good. But God is calling us into a relationship with Him and a mission with Him that is so much beyond what we've been looking at. And so we need these things. We need to know the pleasure of God. I'm going to hit this really quick. Okay. So we need to realize that Father God is pleased with us. We need to realize that we have a purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, take some time and ask God. Like, one of the things that my wife and I do is every year at the beginning of the year when we have our yearly wedding anniversary, we take time to just pray about what's the next year about, God. And I can tell you, if you set time aside, you will start to get a picture of what to do. And don't be such a rush. Like, go find a coffee shop or something, put on some music that doesn't distract you, and just, hey, God, what do you want me, what's my life about? Just start asking questions. Write it down what you get, and see what God has for you to do. You have a purpose. And if you still don't hear anything, well, your purpose is to go make disciples of all nations, right? That's our purpose, okay, right? Like, that's our main purpose. Okay, also, we are sent, he sends us together, and he comes with us. Okay, so I didn't read this one, but there's this verse that intrigues me about this one. I should have said this a little earlier. When Paul is talking about his journeys, missionary journeys, he says, when I got to Troas, my spirit found no rest there because I couldn't find my brother Titus. So I left, even though a door had been opened to me in the gospel. Paul is like the most bold person that you could ever find in scripture besides Jesus. He wasn't afraid, but he was like, I don't have somebody to do this with. And so I'm going to move on to the place where I can find this guy. And so God, I want you to also be thinking about one of the things that we're really wanting to focus on, especially we talked about this yesterday. The Chinese congregation is really doing a great job right now, starting to establish connect groups. And I can see that it's happening here. Like, I can see these groups are forming. I see, like, and as soon as, this is fun to watch. As soon as you see a group form, you come back the next two or three Sundays, and the people that you know are in that group, they look different. They're like, there's like a center of gravity that happens when we start meeting, we start a connect group, and we start to trust each other. We start to grow. And it's almost automatic. Like, yes, you have to work, but it's almost automatic. So like with my kids, I feed them every day, but I'm not like, okay, I'm getting this many calories and this many proteins so that they can grow this much. Like, I don't think that way. I'm just like, hey, what do you guys want to eat for dinner? More pizza? Are you serious? Can't we, you know, like, they're going to grow. They're going to be fine. It happens naturally as you do it. So one of the things, this is a plug for our connect groups. If you're not in a connect group yet, we are forming connect groups, and there are more than one, so you have options. And I want you to really think about, okay, am I in one? And if you're like, oh, kind of, then probably no. If it's, I'm okay, maybe, then assume that's a no, and then get that to a yes, okay? Figure out how to make it a yes, and just figure it out. So you can talk to me, you can talk to Bruce, Terry, any, like, we'll get you plugged into something, okay? And if we can't get you plugged in, then we can start a new one, okay? We'll figure it out, but we want you to be connected because you were not designed to do this journey with God by yourself. If Paul wasn't willing to do it, then you don't have to do it, okay? I know he did do the Areopagus by himself, but other than that, okay. And then the last one is sent with his presence. So, guys, it is so fun. It is so fun to be able to, like, every time we do a prayer time, like pre-service prayer, after service prayer, here in a minute we're going to have people up here to pray. It is just amazing to know that I can close my eyes and say, hey, God, could you let us just experience the reality that you're with us right now? And I can just immediately, there he is. There, not that he wasn't there, but he's responding as my heart is responding to him. He's available for you every time. You can get on a 33-hour train ride and go, this is going to be boring. Oh, wait, no, it's not. Because this relationship is available. If you haven't experienced that yet, you have two choices. You can be like, that's not for me. I'm going to stay here. Or you can be like, I need this. I've got to have this. I don't want to be hiding in this inner room anymore. I want to experience the mission. And it's available. It is available. And all you have to do is say, God, you gotta help me get on this journey. So get in a connect group. That's a really good place to start. But then start praying into it. God, I want more. Like, I'm still good on time, so I'm going to say one thing that I love in scripture here. Paul, which guy was it? Peter. Peter has this vision of the, you know, the sheet coming down from heaven and all the different things. And he goes, no, God, it says, arise, kill and eat. He goes, no, I'm not eating any of that. I've never touched any of that. And then God says it again. And then he goes back and forth three times. And then the vision, the sheet goes, whoosh. And then God doesn't tell him anything. It says, as he was pondering in his heart, the other guys that God had sent like two or three days earlier showed up at the door. And then the Holy Spirit said, go with him. God still didn't tell him what was going to happen. Like, God doesn't mind leaving you in a mystery. So when you're looking for what's my mission, don't be like, it has to be totally clear before I do anything. That's not going to be the way it works. He wants you to have that pondering. So when you go and you sit in that coffee shop, God, I need to know what to do. I need to know you. Don't be like, oh, I didn't get the exact thing the way I expected it, so I'm giving up. Okay? You have to have that pondering. You have to have that seeking. And I can promise you, if you start doing it, God will come and meet you at the end of somewhere in that process. It's going to be amazing. Okay? So we have all the tools that we need to walk this Christian life. They're all there. The Holy Spirit is the answer to this, and we don't have to do it alone. We don't have to do it without each other, and we don't have to do it without his presence, okay? So I'm going to pray for us really quick, and then we'll call up the prayer team. Okay, so Father God, we just thank you so much. We thank you for your presence with us, Lord. We thank you just for these amazing, amazing people that are here that want to know you more, God. We just ask right now that you would move in people's hearts. You'd move in our hearts, Lord, to know you more, to experience you more, to find our joy in you, God. I just pray that we would become aware of your presence. We'd become aware that you're with us. And Lord, would you show us how to step all in into this relationship, God? I just pray that we would, I just pray those next steps of stepping all in would become clear. In Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we love you so much. Thank you for being here. We will see you next week and have a blessed week in between.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.